Afternoon. Hopefully everybody had a good meal, rested, so you won't fall asleep on me. If we all could all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to be in verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." So today we're going to be talking about taming temptation. And we'll start out with a little illustration here. How an Eskimo kills a wolf. Okay? So an Eskimo kills a wolf by he will repeatedly coat a blade of a knife, allowing it to freeze until the blade is totally covered. Then he will place the knife in the snow, and as a wolf comes along and starts licking the blood, his tongue is numb and his hunger is fueled. As the wolf continues to lick the knife, he's going to cut his own tongue repeatedly and eventually bleed himself to death out of his own lust for the blood. And Satan, if we want to make an application, Satan uses basically the same tactics to defeat God's children. He knows that he can never have our soul. Our soul is completely secure. But he also knows that if he causes us to succumb to temptations and where we fail, that then we will become powerless and useless for our purpose in honoring the Lord. Because what is our purpose upon this earth? To glorify God. And when we sin, many times we cause our witness not to be as great. We do need to realize that salvation is not a barrier to temptation. In all actuality, our salvation probably causes the devil and everybody else to tempt us more than if we just stay lost. Satan would love nothing better than to cause one of God's children to fall into sin. However, temptation, while it cannot be avoided, it can be overcome. And while it's hard to endure temptation, actually, temptation can be used to help to grow us in Christ. I believe that every believer needs to know how to turn temptation into triumph. When temptation arises, people usually respond in three different ways. The first way, they simply just give in to it. Many people live by the attitude of, if it feels good, do it. They live like the animals live, doing everything they can to gratify the flesh. Nearly all lost people live like this. But sadly, so do many Christians. The second way is we can struggle with it in our own power. We may struggle against temptation daily, and many of us do. Temptations come along all the time, but some spend their time fighting temptation in their own strength. I can do it. You know, that is the attitude of man. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And so they try to solve temptations. They try to solve everything that they have in their own strength. They fight and fail over and over again, wondering, why am I failing? And the reason is because no one can overcome evil, or nobody can overcome temptation overcome his evil nature alone. If we could defeat the power of sin in our own strength, there was no reason for Christ to die, was there? We could have done it ourselves, but we can't. And so this type of person hates what he does, but he goes on doing it because they have no power to stop it. And then, of course, the third way is we can overcome temptation through the power of Jesus Christ. We can turn our temptations into triumphs. And some people may say that sounds like wishful thinking. But according to God's Word, we can win over temptation. It is possible to live in victory over our temptations that we have. There's a few things that we need to know about it and able to do this, though. And so let's think together on this afternoon, and we'll get into the message here. But first of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just bow before you this day, just first of all, thanking you for the day we have to gather. We thank you for this time that we can hear from your word. I just pray that you will help me to give the message that you've laid upon my heart to preach, and that hearts would be opened to your word. And if there is people here that are battling with temptations, that this would be a lesson that could help them overcome the temptation and actually have victory in it. Just guide and direct as only you can, Lord, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So as we look at our lesson, and of course the title again is Taming Temptation, when we look back in our verse where it says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And the first thing I want to point out is the subject of temptation. Temptation is common to man. All men go through temptations. And so what do we learn from this? And first of all, like I say, all humans are subject to temptation, from the best of us to the least of us. Jesus Christ was tempted. And we know on the Mount he was tempted three times by the devil. Yet he did not sin. Only person to live a sinless life was Jesus Christ. He won. But then we have Peter. Peter was tempted. Sometimes he was successful, sometimes not. And David was also tempted and fell into temptation. When we look at temptation, if you look at it in the Greek, it's perismo. And what that means is experience of evil or solicitation. We also get a word tempted through that, which is parizo, which is to test. We also see in this verse where it says taken you or grabbed a hold of. So temptation will grab a hold of you or seize you. And then, of course, we see the word common after the manner of men. And so what we need to realize is, and I think some of us get this attitude of, I'm the only one who's going through this. Every person is tempted. Every person goes through struggles in their daily lives. Maybe some people may make it look better than others, but we all are tempted. And we need to realize that. We're not facing a temptation other men have not faced. We all face the same things. We all have the same issues. How do we deal with it? That is the idea. We are daily assaulted by wide ranges of temptations. Just to list a few: pride, envy, covetousness, sexual sins, lust. These are all types of sins that we have. And typically, we all have one area where we're particularly susceptible, if not more. Me, probably more than just one. But we need to realize, first of all, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, that just because we're tempted doesn't mean we sin. It is not sin to be tempted. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, it tells us, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore boldly come. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So we can see Christ was tempted like we are, yet without sin. Just because we're tempted doesn't mean we sinned or we have to sin. But our greatest danger with this is, I think, is that some of us will say certain people are tempted in things and they may fail, and we tend to say, "I would never do that." I know I have said that in my life. I would never do that. Have you ever found out when you say, "I would never do that," you do that? And if you would turn to 1 Corinthians again in chapter 10, we're warned by Paul about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken to you." But in verse 12 it says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth lest he fall." It's really saying, you know, I would never do that. Nothing I would do. But we tend to fall. Proverbs 16 and verse 17 and 18 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." But in verse 18 it says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." And when we tend to say, I'm not going to do that, is that not pride? We can have pride in ourselves. When our pride tells us that we have no sin or that we cannot fall into sin as others, normally we're headed for a huge mistake. So we need to realize that. So now when we look at this, what is the source of temptation? And the source of temptation is you and me. First of all, that's the primary source, is our own flesh. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Our own flesh desires certain things, and that's what it's saying here. When we're tempted and we give in to that temptation, then it becomes sin. And our own flesh does it. We always want to say, "The devil made me do it." But the devil is not always the one that causes us to sin. Our own flesh can do that in and of itself. Other sources of temptation is the world. And then, of course, yes, the devil does and can tempt you. So we need to realize that. So let's look at these three sources of how they attack us. The first one we're going to look at is the world. And so when we speak of the world, what does the Bible mean by the world? And basically, it's the world system or the world order, how things are run. The Bible speaks of this system called the world and says it's evil. If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And in James 4:4, James 4 and verse 4, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So it is possible for believers to become worldly. We can look just like the world. We shouldn't, but we can. And when the command of the Lord is that we're not to allow the world to force us into their mold. And that's what the world is trying to do, is force us into a mold, aren't they? But if you look at Romans chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 is the big one. And be not conformed to this world. Be not like this world. Don't become a part of its system, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll look at the world's idea of beauty. When we look at 1 Peter 3, it's talking about really both. We'll look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 3, it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning or the world's adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, of course, the world's appearance, when you look at the world, watch any of the commercials and that, and it's all about the outward adorning, isn't it? And I'm not saying you need to stink and look bad and wear raggy clothes and that. We need to look nice, but that's not what life is about. And if you look at all the ads that goes on, it's all about that perfect body, that perfect face, whatever the case may be. God says it's the inward man. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at the beauty of the inside, not the outside. And also with the world, we have this fun and entertainment. The world wants to entertain you. Watch commercials, you know. The bars are so exciting. And if any of you have ever been in a bar, it's not that exciting. It's dark. It's nasty. And there's nothing wonderful about it. But yet, that's what the world portrays. And as a Christian, we can become so driven with entertainments. I think everybody probably, or most people, I know Brother Humphrey doesn't own a Wii, but most people own some sort of gaming devices. How much time do you spend on those gaming devices? I used to spend hours. I could play them, and I've gotten away from them. I don't play them anymore, because what are you doing with your mind at that time? Are you glorifying God through those entertainments? And I'm not saying those entertainments are all wrong, but it's, what do you use those for? What are they teaching you? What are they showing? So we can be driven and all of this entertainment, to have fun in that, can feed into self and, of course, can feed into temptations. So the world was number one. The flesh is another one. We're all born into it, every one of us, from the most innocent child to the most godly adult, it is our nature, it's what we are as far as the flesh goes. And with the flesh, there's a leaning towards sin. We all have inherited Adam's sin, haven't we? We're all born in sin. And so we can lean to it, and that's called the old nature. And when we're saved, there's a civil war in our hearts that wars against each other. Am I going to do right? Am I going to do wrong? If you'll look at Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you should." And Paul really put it this way, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 7, I think he puts it quite well on what goes on in our hearts in that. Romans 7 in verse 14, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But that I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now, when it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to do will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that which I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then that a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after my inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so we can see there's a war going on. Our flesh is so, and our heart is so deceitful and wicked, constantly lying to us about sin. And we tend to tell ourselves, we're going to be able to get away with this. It's fine. We diminish the consequences. Our flesh is rotten to the core and cannot be trusted. We are tempted to laziness, lust, overindulgence, sexual sins, etc. These temptations are of the flesh. And then thirdly, the devil can tempt us. His main objective, as far as you are concerned, is to cause you to fall so that God is dishonored and you become useless in giving glory to God. And the thing about the devil is he knows what our weaknesses are. It's not like he doesn't. He knows what they are, and he exploits them. He tries to get us to sin. He hates us, and he seeks to destroy those who are saved. And if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 8, and I think most people have heard this, but, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So we have those we have to deal with. We have to deal with the world. We have to deal with our own flesh, and we deal with Satan. So how do we subdue temptation then? If we just go back to our main verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It does tell us halfway down, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God is not going to allow us, He's not going to allow our flesh, He's not going to allow Satan to tempt us beyond what we are able. We are able to overcome any temptations that we have in our lives. We got to realize it. You know, I couldn't help it. I had to do, no, we can overcome any temptation. The Word of God tells us that. We just need to put some principles into practice. And so we're going to talk about that. So there's three words to remember when facing temptation: flight, faith, fight. So the first one we're going to talk about, to overcome the flesh, we need to flee. We need to, that's the flight one. The key to defeating fleshly temptations is to flee from them. 1 Corinthians 6 and 18 tells us, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10 and 14 says, flee idolatry. 2 Timothy 2 and 22, flee youthful lusts. We need to realize you cannot expose yourselves to fleshly temptations and expect to walk away untouched. Run for your lives. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do. Run. Leave the situation you're in. Joseph, with Potiphar's wife, turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39 and verse 12 says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And here we have like an 18-year-old boy having a woman saying, lie with me. And of course, he flees. And why? And he told his Potiphar's wife, why? If you'll look in verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And you know, for an 18-year-old man, that might be flattering. But what does Joseph do? But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hands. There is none greater than that in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph knew what that would mean, is he'd be sinning against God. So when the temptation came and he couldn't do any, what does he do? He flees. Best thing you can do, flee. Secondly, to overcome the world, we need faith. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Isn't that a song that we sing? Faith that Jesus will take care of us when we're willing to give up attachments to worldly things. If we are loving the world, we are not loving God. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 tells us what the love of the world is. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 is, it tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. If you really want victory over the world, then you need to love Jesus more than you love the world. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It is our faith in Him that offers us the victory. It's not in and of ourselves. It's through Him we get the victory. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And again in 1 John 5, 5, it says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And then thirdly, to overcome the devil, we need to fight. And we need to stand up and fight him, and he will flee. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. So we can resist, or we can fight the devil, but who do we do it in? We do it in Christ. Really, with the devil, can we really run away knowing where he's at? No. But we can fight. We can drive him away when we face him in the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in and of itself, Satan doesn't fear us. It's not like we can say, get away from me, devil, you know, and he's afraid of us. But he does tremble before the blood of the Lamb. It's Christ who he fears. You know, look at Job. The devil went before God with Job. Could he do whatever he wanted? God told him exactly what he could do. And even Jesus Christ could tell Satan what to do, couldn't he? We can't, but we can through Christ do that. Satan will flee. Ephesians 4 and 27 tells us neither give place to the devil. Turn to 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. And these will be probably one of the last verses we'll be reading. 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So God tells us we need to fight. But when we fight, we need to do it in God's word. When Satan tempted Jesus Christ, what did he fight with? The word of God. If we know the word of God, we can use it and we can cause the devil to even flee from us there. So in conclusion, as we read this verse just one more time, main verse, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It really comes down to defeating temptation, it comes down to the choices we make. Choices to yield to the demands of our flesh and become a servant to sin, or take God's faithful way of escape and yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know what temptations you may be dealing with in your life right now, but I do know that if you're breathing, you're battling. We all battle. We all have them. And our greatest resources to face temptation is a close relationship with Jesus Christ. So my counsel to you is that you bring your needs to Him. Whatever the need, the trial, or the temptation that is laid down before the Lord, expect Him to help. He has promised us grace and a way to escape temptation. All right. I'm done.